Psalm 113. Psalm 113. We're in a group of psalms here that are psalms of praise. You'll very rarely find a Christian that is consistently praising the Lord discouraged. Discourage flees the heart of a Christian who is praising the Lord, who is joyful. And so that is one of the battles that the devil puts on our plate that we have to face. And we might as well face it face up, you know, and say, let's just go at it. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and when we have no joy, we're weak. And one of the things that produces joy is when we focus on praising the Lord. And that's what this psalm is all about, and I want to give you a message on that. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set them with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren women to keep house and to be joyful, mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the reminder of your word and how we need to be filling our hearts and our days and our years and the rest of our lives with the praise of your person. We pray that you would seal your word to our hearts tonight. May we go from here transformed because we've learned that we can have the joy of yourself as we praise you every day, all day. And we'll give you the praise for what you do in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It doesn't take much to see that this is a praise psalm. This psalm has not been attributed to anyone in particular, but we know who is the author, the God of the universe. 245 times in the Bible we find this phrase, praise ye the Lord. It's in other forms, many, many other forms, where we're exhorted and commanded to thank the Lord, to praise the Lord, to lift up the name of the Lord. But this word, praise ye the Lord, is found 245 times. The idea is found throughout the Bible. The Bible teaches us that the creation is in its entirety praises or glorifies the Lord. The animals of the field, the fowls of the air, the flowers in the meadows, all declare the glory of God in that respect. Praise the Lord. The only part of the creation that has a hard time to consistently praise the Lord is we, the people. Why do you suppose that is? There could be many reasons, but the major reason is because of man's tendency to go away from the Lord, even Christians. That's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? Christians who have been purchased with the precious blood of Christ have a tendency to leave the praising of the Lord and go off into moaning and groaning and murmurs and complainers. And that is a difficult thing that we have to deal with, each one of us. And it starts when you have little children. Even the little children, they can praise the Lord. Dad always reminded us that we needed to be praising the Lord. Since I can remember, Dad always asking me at the kitchen table in the morning, what do you praise the Lord for? And in my heart, I would say nothing, of course. I just got out of bed. Let me wake up. But the idea was, put this in your craw, Peter. You need to be praising the Lord today from the sun up to sundown. May God help us to realize that rejoicing in the Lord is where it's at. And we need to be filled with the joy of the Lord. And when we are, we'll be praising the Lord. And when we're praising the Lord, you can take note. People will take note of it. Well, what is it with you? You're always happy. Let me tell you about the person that makes me happy and gives me things to be happy about. Psalm 31:1 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." Psalm 147:1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely." Praise is comely. It's good for you to praise the Lord. I have a car. It's old, beaten up. Mark drives it back and forth to the university. And every time I get in the car, I say, "Thank you, Lord, for this car." It's been in our family now for 12 years, hasn't given us the first difficulty, and is all beaten up, but it still runs good. And I thank the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for the way my car functions. Praise is comely because it helps us recognize the Almighty. Praise is comely because it always is helpful to position ourselves in a place of subordinates. I'm putting my place, when I praise the Lord, I'm putting my place in a place of subordination under the mighty hand of God. Because it is most painful for God to watch us put ourselves in the place of importance. When I don't praise the Lord, I have tendency to think how good I am. In this passage, God gives us the command to praise Him and two good reasons to do so. We must make it a practice to praise the Lord. A practice. I don't know, some of you might practice some things. Some people bowl. They're in a league and they practice bowling to get better. And they get better. Others do sports. I've practiced basketball about all my life. Petanque, horseshoes. Anything you want to do, you're going to have to practice at it and work at it and get better at it. Well, praise is the same way. Why must we praise the Lord? Because God is the only one to be praised. And why is He to be praised? Because of His exalted position. Because of His glorious deeds. And we will see as we consider the praised one, the lofty one, and the gracious one in this chapter. Number one, the praised one. The praised one. Here we have the first verse, the general command to praise the Lord. Praising the Lord is good for us. Dad had that down. He knew it was good for him, and he knew it was good for me. Men ought always to pray, boys too, he would say. Praise the Lord. Praising the Lord helps us to remind ourselves of God's goodness to us. Now, I know some of you, and I know some of you, not much of you, not much about your life, but I know that every single one of us have trials that we have gone through. Things that are sticking in our craw, a thorn in the flesh that hurts. And we have a tendency to say, "Well, this hurts so much, how can I praise the Lord? Take this thorn out of my flesh, God, and then I'll start praising." Well, no. God's grace is sufficient. You've experienced His sufficiency, the sufficiency of His grace. So just continue on praising the Lord and know that His grace is going to be sufficient for that thorn in the flesh, whatever it may be. And God will help you with the joy of the Lord, the strength to go through the trial that you're facing. Praising the Lord keeps us from praising ourselves. You know, we have a tendency to valorize ourselves, to make our put value to ourselves, to express that in our own thoughts, first of all, and then in our own minds. And the devil, sometimes he's really good at this, telling us how much we deserve better than what we have, telling us that we would be better off if, and the list is long. It's you can't extinguish the list that the devil brings up about how we ought to be valuing ourselves and praising ourselves and giving comfort to ourselves. In everything, give thanks is not the same as being thankful for everything. Did you get that? In everything, give thanks is not the same as being thankful for everything. I'm not thankful for everything, but in everything, I am thankful. I had an accident with my car several years ago. I was sitting next to a missionary who was with me, and just as soon as we hit that car in the rear end, he said, "Praise the Lord!" I said, "Shut your dirty mouth. What are you talking about?" He said, "Yeah, praise the Lord. We could have had our neck cut off or our head through the windshield. It could have been worse. Praise the Lord." I didn't praise the Lord for the accident, but I praise the Lord for the protection of the Lord in the accident. And that makes the difference. So I'm thankful in everything, but I'm not thankful for everything. There are people that are mistreated in our world. I'm not thankful for people being mistreated. I'm mistreated. I'm not thankful that I'm mistreated. I'm thankful that God is with me in the mistreatment. And I'm thankful for everything. I'm thankful all the time in everything. Amen. I just mentioned that. I get it in my notes here now. A man has an accident. We don't thank God for the accident, but we thank him for his protection in the accident. A couple days ago, I was stuck in traffic for over an hour. I wasn't thankful to be stuck in traffic, but I was thankful I had my Bible to read while I was stuck in traffic. How about that? I'm thankful that I wasn't in the accident. The specific command to praise the Lord. The Bible says here, servants must praise the Lord. Servants. Am I God's servant? I must praise the Lord. O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Servant of the Lord are those who praise the Lord. You don't become a servant of the Lord by praising the Lord. You praise the Lord because you are his servant. We don't produce works to be saved. We produce works because we are saved. That's the difference. Two reactions possible. You have, in the face of trials, you have Ruth's reaction. Remember Ruth? She lost her husband. She lost her sons, leaving her two daughters-in-law without children. That's a big trial for her. How did she react? The Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. God has made me miserable. He's afflicted me. That's how she responded. And while she was venting her bitterness towards God, God was preparing to bless her. And boy, did he bless her. Then you have the example of Job. Job lost everything. And after he lost everything, even his precious wife came and said, "You maintain your integrity, curse God and die. What is the use of living?" And Job responded the great way. He said, "The Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He was a servant. And that's why God called him his servant Job. Let me help you with what God has helped me with. You know, Job would have had a different trial had he known what God thought of him. Job had no idea of the conversation that went between the devil and the Lord. With him as the subject. He didn't know anything about that. And he didn't have any idea what God thought about him. God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? He's perfect and upright. He escheweth evil and is," what is it? "He's recommendable. He was everything he should have been," and that's what the Lord said. Had Job known what God thought of him, it would have been easier to go through that trial. I think I can justly say this based on what God thought about Job. God has a better of opinion of you than most of the time you have of yourself. God considers you. He cares about you. He loves you. And he knows what you're going through. And he wants to help you respond correctly. There's a time frame in this command. There's a long-range goal. And there's a short-range goal. You have it in verse 2. "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." God wants us to bless his name from this time, this point in history, and forevermore. That's the long-range goal. Many people who know themselves are defeated before they get started. "I can't do that. It's impossible." I can hear a man in our church right now saying that. "C'est pas vrai. It's not possible. That's not true. How in the world could that happen? I can't do that. Praise the Lord from now until evermore. It's just overwhelming." Well, God never tells us something to do that we cannot do. Some are so proud to say, "I praise the Lord on Sunday," as if God only saw them on Sunday. Determine in your heart, "I'm going to praise the Lord from day to day and till God takes my breath away." It'll be our reasonable service. That's the long term. From now until I pass to the next life, I want to be a man, a woman, a boy or girl, a young person that praises the Lord. The short range goal. It's good to see the long range, but what's really important is just to see the... Did I tell you about my trip to the Grand Canyon? We started out, it was dark. We got up at 3:00 in the morning, got our food in our system, and we started walking down the canyon with lights. Now, we all had little lamps that we were pointing to our feet. We had this one guy, he had a humongous battery on the back of his head and a humongous LED light on his forehead. He turned that thing on. You could see to the other side of the canyon. I'm going to exaggerate just a little bit. You could see the ants climbing on the other side of the canyon. That's not true, but it was almost like it. They were blinded by the light, those ants on the other side of the canyon. But you know what? He never used that light. It was not useful for him. What we needed, not to see the Colorado River down there a mile down, what we needed to see is our path, the next step, where we're going to put the next step. What rock were we not going to step on and turn our ankle? That's what we need to see. And the Word of God is a light for our path, a lamp for our feet, and a light for our path. We needed to see just right here. Why do we have to know what's going to happen 10 years from now or 5 years from now or a week from now? We only need to know what we need to know right now for the next step. And the same is with praise. Don't put in your mind, "Oh, I got to forevermore praise the Lord all the way until I die. Praise the Lord. That's a long time. Imagine it's a long time." Okay, if you can't grapple that with your brain, let that surround your brain, just think about from sunup to sundown. And that's what he's saying here. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. This is not a suggestion. It's a command. We're to praise the Lord from the sunup to the sundown. What would be a good idea is to that first waking moment. You're not quite awake, but you're awake enough to say something. Say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the good night's rest. Has it ever taken place in your mind and in your heart? You get into bed and you say, just take me now, Lord. I don't even want to wake up. Just let me sleep until I can't wake up in your, I can only wake up in your presence. Huh? You ever have that happen to you? I've had that happen to me. And then you wake up. You say, praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the breath you gave me during the night, even if I did snore. If I snore in church, I might snore in my bed too, right? Praise the Lord. You allowed me. You must want me to do something for you today. Give me strength to do what you want me to do. Thank you. It's a short-range goal. Just from sunup to sundown. Praise the Lord. Daniel prayed three times a day. I think in his prayer he was worshiping God, praising the Lord. We can be thankful at least three times a day, can't we? Daniel had a busy day. No doubt he was a man of great authority. He no doubt had sleepless nights, but whatever his agenda was, he took time each day to praise the Lord and thank the Lord and pray. Could we not do the same? What's the first thing that comes out of your mouth in the morning? Or the last thing that is spoken at the end of the day? It could be, praise the Lord for the beautiful day we had. Thank you, Lord, for the sunrise. The psalmist says that from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, we are to praise the Lord. So we've seen the one who is to be praised. Now notice two reasons that we should praise. First of all, we should praise because he is the lofty one. The word lofty means high one, lifted up one. The Lord is high above all nations. He is the Lord of all. He is the Lord above all. And the Apostle Paul said, he is in you all. So if he's in us, he can help us to praise him. There is none like unto our God. One preacher said, he's the pearl of paradise. He's the gem from the glory land. He's time's choicest theme. He's life's strongest cord. He's light's clear as ray. He is everything we need. He dwelleth on high, yet he humbled himself, the Bible says. He humbled himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. He beholdeth the things on heaven and the things that are on earth. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Our heart is never perfect, but our heart can be perfect toward him if we decide we're going to praise him in every situation that he puts us in. How has the Lord humbled himself? Well, the Bible says he came into this world to save sinners. When he sent his son to be born in a sin-cursed earth to save a sinner such as I, was a way where he humbled himself. He humbled himself to become a servant. He humbled himself to be identified with sinners. He humbled himself to become our Savior. And that is why God hath highly exalted him and given him a name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is my king. Is he yours? He's the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings and the Lord of lords. That's my king. Do you know my king? He's a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He is enduring, strong, entirely sincere. He is eternally steadfast, imperially powerful, immortally graceful. He is impartially merciful. He is the greatest phenomena that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He is the Son of God. He is the sinner's Savior. He is the centerpiece of civilization. He is unparalleled. He is unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea of literature. He is the highest personality in philosophy. He is the fundamental doctrine in theology. He is the only one who qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder, do you know him? He supplies strength to the weak. He is available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged and rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. I wonder, do you know him? He is the key for knowledge. He is the wellspring of wisdom. He is the doorway of deliverance. He is the pathway of peace. He is the roadway of righteousness. He is the highway of holiness. He is the gateway of glory. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. He reigns in righteousness. His yoke is easy and his burden light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he is indescribable. He is incomprehensible. He is invincible. He is irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death could not hold him, and the grave could not keep him. That's my king. That's the king that is worthy of praise. We have seen the praised one. We have seen the lofty one. Now notice the gracious one. He is gracious. Oh, he is gracious. The Bible says here in verse number 7, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust. Out of the dust. He lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. Was it not David that said, he lift my feet out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings? He knew what it was like to be taken out of insignificance and be brought into royalty. He seateth the undeserved with princes. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and he giveth joy to the mothers. In my French Bible, I've got a little notation on that 9th verse. And I got there written down in my Bible, Julie, and the date. Some of you don't know, but Julie, Stephen's wife, is my first daughter in love, and she had a little difficult time having children. And then the Lord tried them, difficult trial, when they lost their first son, Nathan. And God gave me that verse, and I didn't tell it to them until they had Alina. And God made a barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of her children. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord. Beloved, we have every reason to praise the Lord. So, praise the Lord. From morning to evening, praise the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, praise the Lord. From today until evermore, praise the Lord. If you do that with the help of God, you'll be bettered for it. You'll be bettered for it. Your wife will enjoy you more. Your husband will appreciate your company more if you praise the Lord. Oh, you say, well, I don't have a whole lot to praise the Lord for. You've got life. You've got health. A certain measure of health. You can praise the Lord. Start right there. Start with the little things. For the breath we breathe. There's a verse of Scripture in the Bible. It's found in Psalm. And I started with a quote from my father, and I'm going to close out with a quote from my father. Psalm 150. I believe it is. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord in His sanctuary. Praise the Lord in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to the excellence of His greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the cymbal and dance. Praise Him with the string instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud sounding cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. And this is the verse. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. My dad would say, put your hand over your chest. Put your hand over your chest. Do you feel it going up and down? Then you're breathing. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Okay, everybody that hath breath, he would say, stand to your feet. And when you praise the Lord for something, you can sit down. And if you're not going to praise the Lord, he would say, quit breathing. You're wasting God's air. Well, if that isn't pointed, I don't know what is. But the message gets to the heart because we need to be praising the Lord. God will make me a better grandfather if I praise the Lord. God will make me a better father if I praise the Lord. God will make you a better mother, a better neighbor, a better church member if you praise the Lord. I appreciated this morning and tonight the times of prayer, praise unto the Lord. Usually every Sunday night in our church when I was growing up, it was a time of praise, thankfulness, praising the Lord because it's comely. Shall we pray?